This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mary. How you doing, Bear?
What's up, everybody?
And we are here for another week of going through our Office Rewatch. This week we are doing Season 5, Episodes 9 and 10, Frame Toby, as well as The Surplus. So before we jump into this week's episode, Mary Bear, do you want to tell us what we missed last week?
Absolutely. So last week we reviewed Season 5, Episodes 7 and 8, Customer Service and Business Trip.
Survey.
Oh.
Survey.
Service is on my mind. That was my old job, yeah. Guys. What can I say?
Servicing.
Servicing the customers. That was my job.
I'm sorry. It was like too, it's stupid. I'm sorry.
It was too easy. That was a Michael joke.
You're my sister.
Oh my God. So anyway, last week with customer survey, all of the salesmen got their reviews, and it turns out that Jim and Dwight's were absolutely horrific.
Horrible.
Meanwhile, Jim is and Pam are on a Bluetooth, the world's smallest Bluetooth, so that they can stay on the phone together for every waking moment, which isn't that what every couple wants?
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, the horrible, horrible reviews, Jim and Dwight team up to try to figure out what the H went on. Turns out that Miss Kelly Kapoor was upset with them because they didn't come to her America's Got Talent finale party, which didn't know you threw parties for that. But the way, and I love the way that Jim finally figured it out was because she gave away favors that were mugs with like a blue star with the person's face on them.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in the office but him and Dwight had them. And I don't know if I brought this up last week. Did Michael get one? Was Michael
ask about that. I don't think he was invited because they usually don't. Remember, like, in the early
seasons?
Yeah,
when Jim had his party.
They didn't want him coming to different things.
Yeah, so. I thought that. And, I mean, maybe that's why. But then why would Michael sympathize with her about all the guacamole?
Maybe because he was busy, like, trying to please Holly.
You know, Holly was there. You're right.
He was wooing her.
You're right. So, basically, Kelly and Michael share this common, it's terrible getting people to actually come to your party feelings.
They're lonely.
And, yeah, that's basically
She doesn't get fired.
She does not get fired.
Yeah.
But it was really funny.
It was good episode.
And then the next one is Business Trip. Michael, Andy, and Oscar fly up to Winnipeg, Canada.
Canada.
To close out this deal, and David Wallace basically did it as a favor to help Michael get over Holly. Michael confuses concierge with something.
Yeah.
And he thinks that the concierge at the hotel is a prostitute.
A geisha.
Whatever.
Whatever. Servicing.
Exactly. She was servicing her customer.
Yeah.
He sleeps with her. He gets upset. Andy and Oscar get drunk and crank call Angela, who had her monkey partner with her. Again, servicing the customer.
Yes.
And that's what you missed on Glee. Oh, and Mike chews David Wallace out for sending Holly away.
And Pam came back from art school.
Oh, yeah, the wrong way because she failed the class.
Yeah, but she didn't stay with creepy, douchey face punching.
Oh, yeah, that's what else I missed.
You see, like, it's so blah. Like, I hate that. Like, I don't know. Like, it's so forgettable. It seems like it should be a focal point of the show, but we don't care.
But you also, like, bitched about when it was the main point of the show.
No, but see, the thing is, and I'm going to touch upon it, I don't know if it's this week. I think the next week's episodes, where Jim and Pam are not as, they're not, like, they're, like, the annoying couple.
Mm.
Where I'm just, like, over it. Like, okay, you guys love each other, you're together, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. We'll get down, that comes down the road.
Okay.
But for this episode, I'll start off. It's season 5, episode 9, Frame Toby.
So excited.
Just with the title, you know what's coming up. So everyone is in the conference room eating brownies.
Can I just say, they huge. Look fucking delicious.
They look like bricks, like adobe bricks.
They look delicious. I would totally be Kevin, taking like 4 of them.
Oh, totally. So Dwight walks in eating beef jerky. He says he's there to socialize. Mike overhears Kelly say that she's taking one for Toby, and Michael, like, scoffs, like,
he's,
oh,
like,
yeah.
He chuckles. He's like, haha, good one,
and
Kelly.
She's like, no, I'm going to take one back to him, no. And she goes, and Michael's, like, giggling. And Jim's like, oh, you don't know, do you? And Michael's like, what? He's like, Toby's back. No, yeah, right.
Yep.
And Jim's like, no, you should go back and look. So Michael goes back to the annex, and there's nothing. It's just the desk. There's nobody there. And he's like, oh, good one, Jim. Make me walk all the way back here. And he turns around, and there he is, the shadowy, ominous figure of Toby Flenderson.
Dude.
And he's just like, and Mike, we get the classic gif of this with Michael just yelling, no! God, no! Why, God? Why, God, no! Just screaming. And that's our cold open, and it's wonderful.
It's so perfect.
It's like, I imagine that's what the younglings are saying when Anakin slayed them in the Jedi Temple. No, God, why? No!
Why are you here?
So,
you're not a master!
Mike and Dwight open up the show. They're on the phone in Michael's office with David Wallace. And Michael sent him a text that said, 911, call me.
Oh my, all in all caps.
Yes, and he does a talking head where he says, people always return my calls now because they think something really bad has happened.
They think something horrible is going on.
So Wallace doesn't understand how Michael went a week without knowing that Toby was back.
A full week. He's like, how did you go a week without realizing one of your employees was there?
And Mike wants him to fire him, but Wallace tells him he needs to get along with Toby, that he needs cause.
Yeah.
And Michael says, because I hate him. So we go out into the break room. Pam is trying to use the microwave, but it's all gross and
people
microwaving spaghetti without a lid.
You know, like, dude, that's or like when people, I know people who are trying to be healthy, and God love you, but stop heating your salmon in the fucking employee's microwave. Well, it's disgusting.
I feel very strongly about this.
It's disgusting.
Is it always salmon? You're like
it's
very
all, no, it's
specific
like,
about.
Well, you don't really heat up tuna.
No, but does it have to be fish?
Yes, it's like, always fish.
It's always fish.
No,
so it's not like
it's
sauce.
Always fish.
There's no gravy or sauce or anything.
I mean, like typically people with Tupperware containers, like, I don't know who the hell, like, what monkey is in there throwing spaghetti around, but, okay. Like, it's always fish, and it always smells horrendous.
So we see Jim.
Go on.
Jim is in the break room, and Andy asks him about the house, because he saw Jim's emails.
Yo.
He, like, peered, like, I guess, like, over his shoulder, I guess, or something?
No, I think Andy straight up, like, snooped on his entire desk.
So, it's the day that Jim tells Pam about the house, and, like, they show him going through. It's got shag carpeting, paneling, a painting of a clown that won't come off the wall.
Why does that remind me of our house in the 90s?
Oh,
except
yeah.
Except for the clown painting.
I was going to say, from, like, 91 to 94, we had, like, green
Seriously,
carpets and paneling.
It was, like, pea soup green.
Yeah, it was very, like, very late 60s kind of look.
Yep.
Our parents updated it, but it took a while.
It took quite some time.
So Jim asks everybody not to tell Pam, and, you know.
Which ballsy fucking move,
for these
Jim.
People, yeah. They all know about it.
No, I meant buying a house.
Oh, yeah. Well,
without
yeah,
telling your fiancé.
Making a, I'm assuming, judging by the house and its location, probably about a $150,000 purchase in 2008. Although it may have been less in the recession. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's true.
But, what's your name? Phyllis asks him where it is. And he says, oh, it's down by the quarry.
It's on Linden Ave by the quarry.
And Creed lights up and says, I live by the quarry. We should go hang out there and throw things in there.
Dude, what the... Okay, so number one.
Go ahead. Are you,
Linden Ave is right downtown. It's literally
It's actually
the
Linden
road.
Street.
Oh, Linden Street.
I don't know if there is a Linden Ave, to be honest.
I don't know.
But yeah, it is downtown.
But it's like literally like the courthouse square, which is the center of downtown.
Yeah, there is.
Is
no,
on Linden Ave.
There's no quarry.
there is no quarry at all. Not that I know in the Scranton area, even. I'm sure there is in the vicinity, but not like downtown Scranton.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. Even on the, like, north side, west side, whatever side.
I like
side
how you're going through the sides.
The sides of Scranton. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe in a suburb of Scranton.
Yeah, it's outside, but not downtown. But, so I have a picture here on my phone, because the next scene we see there's a sign on the microwave. And Oscar...
Big, obnoxious, yellow
And
sign.
Oscar is reading it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
To whoever made the microwave mess... The microwave is a shared, big red letters, kitchen appliance. By not cleaning it up, you are basically telling whoever follows that their time is less valuable as they will have to scrub out your disgusting splatter. Sincerely, disappointed. So they signed it like a Dear Abby letter, which is precious.
Oh, it's adorable. But, when there's like 12 people that work in your office.
Yeah. So,
hey, who's using the yellow cardstock?
Pam is in the room as this is happening. And Indian, Oscar, and Meredith are like, this is fucking obnoxious.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, the mess in the microwave. They're like, no, this note, it's way more obnoxious than the mess. But Angela's there, and she's like, I like it. She likes the note. She thinks it's very headstrong. Very yes. good. So Michael
goes. I love how Meredith's like, yeah, all right, Richie.
Yeah, like only rich people can be clean. So Michael looks at the camera as he's about to go into the annex, and he says, well, here's some acting that'll make Kurt Russell jealous or something like that. Like, Kurt Russell is his, like, that's thespian.
His barometer.
That's the thespian he thinks of, Snake Plissken. So he goes back, and he tries to be normal and have a regular conversation with Toby. About Costa Rica, like, why'd you come back? Like, oh, well, what was it like? You know,
yeah.
And all that. He's trying to be normal. And Toby is just so blah. Just like,
he's so blah, but man. Also, like, Michael is battling, like, all of these comebacks. Like, Toby's like, well, it was kind of hot. And he's like, why didn't you buy it? You should have bought an air conditioner. Yeah. Like, he's battling himself.
He's physically uncomfortable. Yeah. And, like, at one point, Toby's like, well, it's hard to meet people, new people down there. And he's like, of course it is for you.
For you.
So,
like, he's trying not to be so insulting, but it just comes out so naturally.
Yeah, and then he's just like, I give up, I can't do this. And he does a talking head where his quote, I tried, but being friends with Toby is like being friends with an evil snail.
This entire talking head literally had me laughing out loud. Like, I know a lot of people say, like, oh, LOL. No, I was actually laughing out loud. My dog woke up from his nap while I was watching
poor
it.
Poor Achilles.
Like, he's like, I feel like Neve Campbell in Scream 2. Yeah. I just wanted to go to college and meet new friends.
That's all she wanted. He wants to just go to work and Toby's there. He's like a fucking murderer.
This whole talking head had me in stitches. Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
It was prime Mike because he got to, like, spew venom. Instead of being an idiot, he was just like, I fucking hate Toby. So,
and everybody has those moments and those people.
Oh, God.
And it's so relatable.
100%. So Michael and Dwight are going over regulations in his office to find a way to fire Toby. And they settle on sexual harassment by luring him to hit on someone. So,
and Dwight starts to get undressed.
Dwight sexes himself up. He loosens his tie. Yeah. He unbuttons the top of his shirt.
Does he do so, like, musses up his hair?
He goes, I'm going to be bait. Oh, I'm even wearing my mustard shirt. He got the right color yellow. So Michael says, Dwight, men do not find you attractive. If we're going to use anybody as bait, it would be Jim or Ryan or me. Now we go, and Pam is at her desk venting to Jim about the microwave situation, and he couldn't care less. Because she's like, this is important to me. Blah, 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 blah. And at this point, I'm like, why don't you just wipe it up? Like, okay, you have pride, but, like, if you really care that much, just clean it up. It'll take 5 minutes. You even say on the note, it'll take a few seconds to do it. You know what
I mean? It will, but it's also the principle of the thing, because I'm sure as the receptionist, Pam gets shit on and has to do all the crappy jobs and, like, clean.
As we'll find out in the next episode, she does have to do a certain job, but she doesn't care because she just cares about her own comfort.
Yeah.
And we will get there. Pam is, like, odious to me in these two episodes. I'm just like, I don't care. So Mike gives Pam a note and tells her to deliver it to Toby. And please don't read it, whatever you do. So, of course, she just immediately opens up and it says, please hug and kiss me no matter how hard I struggle. I'm too shy to tell you I love you. And Michael is like, ah, no, he's foiled again by this.
No matter how much I struggle.
He wants Toby to, like, rape her. No matter how much I struggle or say no.
Hug and kiss me no matter how much I struggle.
And you know what Toby would? In that moment, he gets that note. Yeah, the way he put his hand. God, it's
put
that
his
scene.
Hand on her thigh.
That scene all over again.
Everybody just looks at each other uncomfortably. Why is that evil snail sexually attracted to her?
I just imagine, like, if Gary from SpongeBob SquarePants, if, like, Gary mated with Eeyore.
Oh my God.
That's Toby.
Jesus Christ.
That's going on Twitter.
Yep.
So Toby is now in the annex as Ryan and Kelly make out furiously. And rather than being a good HR rep, he's just like, guys, can you knock it off? That's pretty much it. And Mike and Dwight storm in. And as Toby is about to show them pictures of Costa Rica. They swat them out of his hand onto the floor. And Mike just starts begging him to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Hit him. Hit him.
Would you want to hit me?
Yeah. Come on, nerd. Like, and Ryan and Kelly actually are like, go ahead, Toby, hit him.
Yeah, Kelly's like, do it, Toby, do it.
Punch him. But, like, he won't do it. He's just like, why would I do that, Michael?
Why would I hit you, Michael?
So, like, they leave, and he bends down, he picks up his pictures off the floor. Like, a total asshole.
Poor kid. No.
He's
poor
an
kid.
Asshole.
I almost said poor kid.
He's an
poor
asshole.
Toby.
So, Dwight is in the office now as Mike furiously scarfs down brownies from earlier. And Dwight says, we're going to frame him. We're going to frame him for drugs.
Yep.
And, like, tell me what Dwight said about framing before.
So, Dwight said, or Michael goes, have you ever framed anybody before? And he goes, of course I have. I framed a raccoon once for opening a Christmas present and a bear for eating out of the garbage. How?
Dwight ate out of the garbage?
How do you frame a bear for eating out of the garbage?
Look what that bear did. So, This is probably the scene of the episode where Michael approaches Vance refrigeration workers in the parking lot and he asks them for weed. And they're both like eating lunch.
Yeah.
And they're just like, the fuck? So the one guy whispers in the other's ear.
Why would you ask us for weed?
Yeah. And the one guy whispers into the one's ear and runs out the back. He goes, hold on a second. So Michael and the other guy just stand there and Michael goes, I'm not wearing a wire. And the other guy just deadpan, why would you even say that? Hilarious. So the one guy comes back with a baggie and he says, $500.
Oh my God.
So Michael whips out his wallet, which has.
For how much?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
And he goes, it's 2 pounds.
2 pounds.
2 pounds! And you get this little baggie. It had a Lackawanna County library card.
Thank you. You noticed that.
Oh, I noticed.
Yes. And our mother.
And that's actually what they look like.
Yeah. I was going to say
that. Somebody came and got one.
That was a legit one. And so the guy gives Mike a baggie. Michael gives him $500 for.
Who has that on them on a typical work day?
You see, the thing. Michael Scott. I just assumed that he went to an ATM because he doesn't know the street price.
Just took out his max,
max
limit for the day.
So Michael gets the drugs and disappears. So now we see Ryan go up to Pam's desk, and he's on her side about the microwave. And she's like, well, you could clean it. He's like, nah, I'd mess it up, Pam. Like, he just, like, saunches
away. Oh, I'd find a way to do it wrong. And she's like, how would you do it wrong?
You don't want me near that.
Towel.
Yeah, you don't want me near it. And he just walks
typical
away.
Typical man. Sorry, but it is.
Man, just an asshole.
Yeah.
So Michael plants the baggie in Toby's desk while Dwight calls the cops, pretending to be Andy Bernard.
Oh, my God.
The cops arrive. They come in. They storm to the back. Dwight takes them to Toby.
You missed the best part of the episode.
Did I?
We got a call about something about narcotics here. And as the cops
Creed,
are walking back,
Creed
stands up and he like goes to put his hands up and then he puts them behind his head.
It's like he's stretching.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they do a talking head with Creed where he says, pretend we're talking until the cops leave. So the cops go back to the annex. They're going through Toby's desk. Toby's like just pissed off. He's like very upset.
He's like, I have the right to privacy. You can't do that.
And Michael's back there watching. He's getting more uncomfortable, more queasy, and he's racked with guilt as
it's
going on.
Meanwhile, Dwight is like, you gave that up when you decided to bring drugs here.
Yeah. The cops.
He's goading them.
So you just came back from Central America, sir? Oh my God, Michael! Like, he's just like all upset. But Michael, now it's getting too real for him.
Yeah, he's getting freaked out
The
now.
Cops pull out the baggie.
Yeah,
and they're like, what is this? And they're about to arrest Toby. And the one cop realizes it's Caprese salad.
Yeah, he opens it up. He's like, basil. Salad dressing.
Yeah, there's little bits of mozzarella in here. It's like Caprese salad.
Like a little tomato in there, too.
So they're like, there's nothing here. And like, they just leave. And Toby tells Michael he wasted the cop's time, which pisses off Michael even more.
Yeah.
Because he goes, you think I framed you and you're worried about the taxpayers? Like, Michael's, like, convinced he's not a real human.
Right. And like, I love Dwight. There are laws in place to protect you against using,
force. Excessive force.
Excessive force.
Yeah.
And
police brutality.
Yeah.
He wants him to rough Toby
he
up.
He does.
So then we get a dual talking head. Mm-hmm. Michael says, welcome back, jerky jerk face. And Mike just tells Toby he's a liar because he came back.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to hear another lie? You're my best friend.
You want to hear a lie? I think you're great. You're my best friend. That meme, I fucking use it all the time.
Yeah, I never use that.
Well, with my HR friend.
Oh, of course.
I'm like, hey, here's Toby.
Is she
for
the Toby
day.
Or the Holly?
No, she's my Holly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Ryan breaks
we
up.
We talk about Toby.
Well,
together.
That's right, the other guy. Ryan breaks up with Kelly now in the annex and says he's going to Thailand with high schoolers.
Yeah, this was so weird.
Yeah, and he says, let's have sex one more time, and if you have extra cash, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
And she just goes, okay. And that's it.
But she's like, I broke up with Daryl to be with you.
And he goes, that's your decision. Don't put it on
me. Don't put that on me.
Even though he wrote the text.
Yeah, exactly. He had her phone.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I don't know. This was a weird, because it was so out of place.
It was a weird ending.
It was out of place. It didn't have anything to do with anything else.
Yeah.
And not just in this episode, but previous episodes.
Yeah.
So Jim now takes Pam to the house that he bought, his parents' house. And he tells her it's theirs, and he shows her around. She doesn't say a word through all this. He's showing her around the carpeting, the bedrooms, and then he shows her the garage, which he made into her art studio. And she loves it! And she hugs him and kisses him. She goes, you bought me a house! I love it! And they kiss, and everything's great. And then we end the show with Dwight going over his perfect crime of robbing Tiffany's and knocking up the owner's daughter and going to Canada rather than Mexico, and his son is the chief of police. It's a whole rambling mess.
It's fantastic, though, at the end.
It's a weird non sequitur, but it's
she
good.
Never took another lover.
So, what did you give this one, Bear?
I gave this one a 4.5.
4.2.
I thought it was fan-fucking-tastic. And that's exactly what I wrote.
I thought it was funny, and because I hate Toby, too.
I literally laughed out loud during this episode.
Oh, yeah. The part with the Vance refrigeration guys. Why would you even say that? Michael's
why selling, do you think we sell weed?
Michael's just like, weed. Marijuana. Like, he's just like so uncomfortable during the whole
do
thing.
Do you have any marijuana cigarettes?
Pam's a little self-righteous for me in this episode with the whole microwave thing.
No, I've been there. You got to pick your battles in an office environment, and obviously that was hers.
The weird thing is Pam is always picking battles in the office. Like, you notice that? She's always the one who's like trying to get other people behind stuff.
Not,
I think if you watch enough episodes, I think if you watch enough episodes, like you see, like Pam is the one. Mm-hmm. I mean, also she was in the what was it, the Fancy People's Club, the Fraser Crane Club,
Finer Things, Club.
I don't know, Pam. This is something I've come to realize, like watching.
But then,
hold on, I'm not going to say something bad. I swear.
No, I have another point to make. But go on.
Pam is like the least interesting character on the show to me because she is defined by.
She's a wallflower. She's defined by who she's dating.
But she's not... Like, Oscar is funny in moments. Creed is funny. Meredith... Like, all the other characters... Jim is funny. Dwight's funny. Michael.
Yeah.
Pam isn't, like, a funny character.
Not everybody
but she thinks
has
she
to
is.
Be funny.
No, on a comedy show... David Wallace is the straight man. He's the only straight man on the show. When you
David
have Jan
Wallace.
Levinson freaking, like, becoming a monster. Like, this is, everybody's cranked up to an 11 on this show.
Yeah.
And Pam is the only one who's not, and it just makes her...
Jim's not.
No, but Jim has, like, that impish pranks and
he's
stuff like
quirky.
That.
Quirky.
And he's, like, quick-witted. Pam isn't really, like... Mm-hmm. She's basically the straight man to Michael.
Yeah.
And then she acts cute with Jim. Like, I just don't think she's that interesting is all I'm saying. It's not a bad character.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's pretty bland in comparison to even the bit auxiliary players in this show. And I think that came across. Like, okay, she's the stick in the mud kind of with certain stuff. But, like, I think Oscar plays that card a lot better.
I feel like she's the one that actually has her foot in reality, though. But... What fucking killed me this episode was that she freaks out over a microwave mess, and then her fiancé makes a huge
life decision.
And she's just like, I love it. You bought me a house.
Yeah.
No.
There's a disconnect
there. Me and my husband bought a house together before we were married. And guess what? I made the decisions.
I
was like, do you like the house? Okay, we're going to go look at it. You do not make a major financial decision for your fiance. Not even a, like, hey,
maybe he didn't put
not
my name
like
on
as
the
a
house.
Boyfriend who was like, hey, I'm buying a house because that's where I'm at in my life. You want to move in? Totally cool. But they are engaged to be married.
Yeah.
Their mortgage in X amount of months when they get married.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be both of theirs.
Yep.
That, like, but she's like, I love it. Because you gave, because he put
oh
up
Oh my
an
God, e- you're getting flustered.
Because he put up an easel and a fucking canvas in the garage
That's
and put
what
down some, like, fucking tarp on the ground? Really?
You know, Roy never got her a house.
God damn.
I thought she wanted a terrace and everything.
She did.
Wasn't that one of the episodes?
She did. She wanted a terrace that she could go out and paint on.
Yeah.
Now she's got a garage.
Do you know
with
what the
no
sad,
windows.
Do you know what the sad thing is, though, is with the Pam character? Is that in the
it
first,
takes so little to impress her?
Not only, well, hey, Roy gave her the best sex she had. But the thing about the Pam character is that in the first... Probably the first two seasons,
mm-hmm.
she was probably the most interesting character on the show. in a way, because she, like you said, she's grounded, but she had more depth. Mm. Now it's like, okay, she draws and she dates Jim. And that's it. Like, that's all they're allowing us to see.
We might see more, though.
Well, I hope we do, because, like, what we're getting now, where her and Jim just act cute, and then she's like, I draw.
She also just came back from New York, though.
No, I know, but the whole New York thing didn't help her at all, either.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, when I just, like, watch this with Pam, I'm just, like, yawn.
No, which isn't fair, Pam. I guess. I like Pam, because she's probably the most relatable on the show. But, like, at the same time, like...
I actually think Oscar's the most relatable. Girl. To be completely honest.
Yeah, because he does call Michael out, like, are you fucking stupid? Well,
he's like an adult, and, like, he realizes all the madness going around him, but he loves being a part of it, too.
Does.
Like, he's, like, always in on the goss, the hot goss and everything, you know what I mean?
Spilling that tea, girl.
I think Oscar is the most relatable, but I digress.
But you know what I mean? Like, you can see yourself as Pam, where, like, you have that crazy boss, and you're just like, whatever, man, he's paying my bills, like... Whatever.
That's it. Whatever. Great.
But, like, how do you get upset about a microwave and then you're just like,
because Jim did
house.
It. Because if Jim made the mess, like, in the microwave.
But here's the thing. Like, my husband worked 2 full-time jobs for a year to save up for a down payment for a house. Mm-hmm. And I thank him all the time for it. And I'm like, you did. Still? Like, you worked hard. You got us here. Blah, blah, blah. But guess what? If he worked hard for a year and then I went and bought a house with that money for us, your name is on the deed, and you're going to be responsible for the mortgage for the next 30 years with me.
Your name's not on it.
Nah.
You don't think Jim just did the thing with his parents and that was it?
Because he didn't go through a realtor.
All right, everybody. Next week, we're going to open up our segment of the show, Realtor Talk with Mare Bear.
But all I'm saying is, like, if he did that, I would be like, you're getting the fuck out of it. Like, we need to make this decision as a couple for the rest of our life.
But
not you independently going and making a decision for us.
Jim is her life, like, her soulmate.
You see soulmates have respect for each other's opinions.
Do you see
opinions.
The way they look at each other? And
soulmates
she gets weak?
Have respect for each other's opinions, okay?
And this is part of the problem with the Pam character, is that it's like, Jim! You know what I mean?
Oh my God, she's like the high school geek that, like, the jock fell in love with.
Yeah, and she's like, oh.
He can do no wrong, even though he treats you like trash.
And now you see my side of it.
Oh my God. I don't know why, but that scene made me so angry.
Yeah, because we talk about all, like, the absurdities and that. We just kind of accept them with the show.
Yeah.
That may have been the biggest stretch of them all, to be honest. Like, it may have been. Like,
ridiculous.
Overall, though, like, really funny episode.
Oh, my God. I laughed so hard during this episode. I loved it.
I'm excited to have Toby back. I'm really happy to have Toby back, honestly.
And just the, like, visceral hatred that Michael has for him that's now, like, unfiltered.
Because that's, like, a side of Michael we never see.
I know.
And, like, we went, like, 8 episodes without it, and now it's
so
back.
Much fun. It's that's wonderful. Why I think it, like, went so intense this episode.
Oh,
like,
it was perfect.
You want to hear a lie? I think you're great. You're my best friend.
Awesome episode.
All right. But, guys,
yes.
We're going to wrap up that episode, and we're going to go into our halftime. So right after this, we'll get back into Season 5, Episode 10, The Surplus.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We'll
and thanks for joining us at the halftime portion of the show. This is the portion of the show where we put ourselves over as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. Right now I'm going to tell you about what you can find over at the PTBN Pop Feed, where you can find the Hard Traveling Fanboys, the longest-running weekly episodic comic podcast in all of Place to Be Nation with Greg Phillips and Nick Duke. DC4U, an in-depth look at the world of DC Comics with Russell Sellers and Todd Weber. Marvel Age, where Nick Duke, Tim Capel, Russell Sellers, and Todd Weber are going back through the history of Marvel Comics. Laugh in Theater, a live-watch comedy movie podcast hosted by Andy Atherton. The Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. The Great Debate, a podcast where host Andy Atherton leads a panel through a series of arguments on topics far and wide. The Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, brings you deep thoughts from the minds of Glenn Butler and his family and friends. This week in the NFL, Cabo and D'Amato take you through recaps and preview each week of the NFL season. Hopefully the XFL not, which I have become a big fan of, by the way.
Yeah, I noticed.
Of me and my brothers. Our brothers.
Yeah,
what do you mean ridiculous?
I've never watched the XFL.
Yeah, so don't judge it, girl.
I've heard some things.
Such as? I want to hear what some of the things.
It's like basically WWE.
No.
But it's football.
It's not WWE. No, it's football. Vince McMahon is the money man behind it, but there are not elements of wrestling involved or anything like that. It's not fixed and predetermined.
Well, no. I mean, like, somebody misses a field goal and somebody's there with them.
The sideline reporter, you get more access than ever before. Like, the sideline reporters actually interview guys during the game.
Mm.
And the coaches' headsets are mic'd up to the actual telecast. So you can hear them, like, calling out the plays and shit like that. It's actually fun.
When I heard, like, about the sideline reporters, I thought of, like, he just went over the top rope. He's out of the Royal Rumble. How does that make it feel?
Their actual sports.
Mean Gene. Like.
Oh, that'd be great. Roddy Piper, get in here. No, the one guy missed a field goal, and they're like, he comes off the field. They're like, how do you feel? Like, it's fucking Matt McGloin. You know Matt McGloin.
I do know Matt.
Penn State.
Well, I know of Matt McGloin.
Penn State alum. Actual he came.
I was there when he was there.
Were you?
Yeah, when he was our quarterback. I was down at State College.
He is a Scranton native, mm-hmm. much like Michael Scott.
Yes.
He may have played himself out of a gig in the XFL because he was mic'd up for a lot of things this week where he pretty much threw his team and coach under the bus.
Yeah.
For his poor play. It was really fucking funny. But
didn't he get dropped by the Raiders, too?
Yeah, the Raiders didn't resign him. He was on, the Eagles practice squad for a bit. And now he washed up in the XFL and he's still playing. He's trying to get a real job. Good for him.
He washed up in the XFL and may have given up the only lifeboat that he had.
Yeah, he's going to be riding the pine if he has another. Like, the game this week was horrible. Horrendous. The NBA team, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich, cover the world of hoops from coast to coast. The Year in Pop, a deep dive into pop culture year by year, hosted by Andy Atherton, Scott Priscolo, Dr. G, and D'Amato. Diamond Conversations, where host Chad B brings in guests from in and around the baseball world for in-depth conversations. Fuck the Houston Astros. Sunday Groove, a podcast for music lovers far and wide, hosted by David Sunday. PTBN E-Ticket Attraction, a theme park focused podcast led by Jason Sherman. Looking Forward, Looking Back, Pop Culture, hosted by Andy Atherton and its sister show, Looking Forward, Looking Back, Sports, hosted by The Cowboy. Each look ahead to upcoming seasons and events, as well as looking back at recently finished ones.
Listen, the theme park one?
Oh, go ahead, yes.
PTBN, if you want to pay for me to go to Disney, I will gladly do that podcast.
You will go to Disney and take copious notes.
I will take one for the team.
Oh, yeah. Also, you can find special topical podcasts and podblasts like Pop Goes to the Movies, Pop Goes to Classics, and Pop Goes to the Couch. Also, be sure to check out PTBN Wrestling Feed, which includes a deep dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Wrestling War Zone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jenny and the Gems, Body Press Your Luck, and so much more. So subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. I just want to let everybody know that the finals, as of recording, the finals start tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be The Office versus The Simpsons. Frasier was robbed. Frasier's better than The Office. I'm sorry. Even though I talk about this show weekly, Frasier's better. And The Simpsons.
Frasier's smarter.
And better. I laugh more with Frasier than I do with The Office. Mm. And I'll say this much as well about The Simpsons.
It's been on the air for 30 fucking years. Only 10 seasons were good. Like, everything post, like, 2002 is trash. Like, it's not that...
I haven't really watched
it's okay, but it's not that good. And, like, yeah. I feel like just because its highs were so high, you also have 20 years of, like, subpar... Lose. Yeah, subpar stuff. So, I don't know. This whole tournament kind of blew my mind because I didn't realize The Office was so beloved.
It is.
It's weird because I don't... Like, I think I went over the one cast where I said, like, mentioned 10 shows I would vote ahead of it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of bummed to see it in the finals.
No, dude, people love
They can office. Like it, but
it's like a cult phenomenon.
It's a cult. You could have stopped right there. It's a cult. Especially when I see, like, their fucking meme pages and everything on the Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cult.
Facebook, too, man. I follow, like, 17 of them.
So, I mean, I don't
office
know.
All day.
When this show hits the air, I don't know if the it's going to be
if
underway.
It's going
to
be over.
But go to the Facebook page and see who won. I don't have a dog in the fight, so should have been Frasier. It should have been Frasier.
Who did Frasier lose to?
The Office. It was Final Four.
Okay.
We have officially kicked off the 2020 stretch project determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do your research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics of the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. Don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walker on the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you.
Woo.
Take it away, Mare Bear.
All right, guys. Always hit us up on our Twitter at BroSisPodcast. We like to keep it funky fresh over there. Kevin and I both post on there. Unfortunately, our poll... had like
two
votes and it was 50-50.
Bunch of idiots.
So apparently pork chops and soup are equally awful to have on your stomach before
or good.
The act, yeah. But so we like to do fun little things over there. We always post our favorite screen grabs from the episodes that we review. Again, that's at Brosis Podcast. Now if you want to email the show, if you have a little bit longer than 140 characters to talk to us about, always hit us up at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Yesh.
Yesh. Now, I sent this to Kevin. So, guys, obviously, Kevin and I, our wheels are always turning about what do we do after The Office. Because The Office is so big.
Such bullshit, by the way.
So,
I'm just going to call this out.
When Kevin and I decided to do The Office, we took a couple weeks to kind of formulate our plan of how we were going to do this show.
Mm-hmm.
And as you guys know, a couple months in...
A couple weeks in,
yeah. Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsley decided that they were going to become the office ladies and do an office rewatch.
Also, podcast. Is that even still around? Because I don't
it
see
is
it.
Still
it is because I don't
it's
see it.
It's just not as promoted as heavily anymore, but it is still around. So now,
guess the ratings aren't so good, gals.
So Kevin and I were floating around our ideas. Now we were like, do we do another long sitcom? Do we do a short mini-series? But one show that Kevin and I both love so much is Scrubs.
Yes.
What do you think after we discuss this, like a week after we talk about this, Zach Braff posts a picture on his Instagram and says, should Donald and I do a rewatch of Scrubs? And
on
I'm like,
podcast,
I'm like, are you kidding me?
They're jumping on the fucking bandwagon.
So we are no longer going to be discussing.
Yeah, because it's just a fucking jinx.
It is. So, but if you guys have any suggestions, we're always open to it. It's not going to be for like another year because we still have The Office to get through. But we'll always archive your ideas if you do want to reach out. And
yeah, send us
what
if you have like if you want to do like a drama. Or we're not going to do the
like
Simpsons.
Like I said, a miniseries. No, my God. No, not the Simpsons.
No.
But, yeah, if you guys think, like, a miniseries would be cool, like, let us know your thoughts. But, yeah, I just thought that that was so funny because we were like, The Office, like, doesn't really have a lot of podcast out about it. Let's do that one.
I even researched. I'm going to a little, you know, behind the scenes here.
Mm-hmm.
I went, me and my girlfriend were road tripping in last, like, winter. We were doing a long drive, and we were going through looking up office podcasts, and like listening to a little bit of each one, like, oh, I want to get a feel for like mm-hmm. what, because if this is what me and Mare Bear are going to do, I want to see what these people are doing and not do it.
Yeah.
Or if they're really good at it, maybe we should rethink and do a different show or something like that. And I swear to God, I don't know if like a lot of podcasts are like NPR. Hey there, Julian. How are you doing today? it looks like we got an email from Brent, and we're going to talk about how Phyllis is very matronly. Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, we're
that's not my style.
We're a little vulgar, a little foul mouth. We like to make jokes, tell, like, if we have any anecdotes.
Go off on our tangents.
Yeah, if any anecdotes strike us as we're going along with the show. And, you know, I think it works for us. But please, guys, movie stars out there, if you're listening, TV stars, stop doing podcasts. All right?
Stop doing rewatches. You have enough money.
Yeah, get work as a fucking actor. That's what you do. Leave being, you know, hiding faces behind a microphone to people like us.
The people who can't get paid to show their face.
Yes, thank you. Anyway, all right. I digress.
After that nice little tangent.
Yes.
We are rolling right into season 5, episode 10, guys, The Surplus. So our cold open is Oscar walking into Michael's office. And he says that we have the final actual cost for the year. And you can already tell Michael has no idea what this means.
Yeah, it's like totally like Greek to him.
Yeah, and he's like, explain this to me like I'm an 8-year-old. And he's like, all right, well, you can see on the x-axis. And Michael's like, the
x-axis. Yeah, he can't even pronounce axis. Axis, if you will.
Axis. But he's like, all right, so there's a surplus of $4,300. Now, basically, if we go back to corporate and tell them, you know, we have this extra, then they're not going to include in our budget next year.
Mm-hmm.
Michael looks at him and goes, explain this to me like I'm a 5-year-old.
So a smart five-year-old. Are you okay? You got hiccups?
Yeah, I did. Sorry, guys.
No, you're fine.
So then he goes, all right, so you want to run a lemonade stand this summer. So your mommy and daddy give you $10. You go out and you buy the cups, the lemons, the sugar. And you find out it only takes you $9 to run a lemonade stand. So and Michael's like, bingo. So then he's like, you give your parents the dollar back. And then the next year, they only give you $9 because that's what they think it takes to run a lemonade stand. And he's like, or you can use that extra dollar and go buy something fun. Michael's like, oh, yeah. So that's a good idea. Like,
yeah.
Ridiculous. So he's like, we need a new copier. And you can just tell Michael, like, I'm almost positive, like, he starts, like, explain this to me like I'm a 3-year-old.
He's about to go and do it again, yeah.
So that's our cold open, which was really funny, and I thought
it
set up the episode really well.
It set the stage.
So now Michael walks out into the office, and he announces about the surplus, and he explains what a surplus is, and they're like, yeah, we know what it is, Michael. Mm-hmm. And he announces that he is going to buy a new copier. And no one is excited.
Oscar's like...
Yeah, Oscar does a golf clap. And nobody, everybody else, like Kelly has a blank stare on her face. And Pam's like, oh, what about new chairs, Michael?
This is what I'm talking about with Pam. She's got another crusade in this episode.
All right, yeah, she does have a crusade. I'll say it. I'll agree there. Uh-huh. But then Toby's like, I think we should get the air quality tested. There's radon below and asbestos above. They're the silent killers. And Michael looks at him and goes, you're the silent killer. Get back to the annex.
And then Toby, under his breath, just goes, you'll all see.
You'll see.
What's that even? Is that a threat?
Like, I'm going to put asbestos in the fucking air ducts now.
That's hilarious.
Whoa, Toby.
Very strange.
All right. So now Meredith, well, Pam goes up to Michael and she's like, listen, Meredith, Stanley, and Jim are all on my side and they agree about the chairs. And Jim's like, actually, the copier. And there's a talking head and he goes, since we started dating, I feel weird having Pam do, like, my copies. So I've been doing them and that copier sucks. And then he, like, almost like an independent man would to show, like, I'm still a man. He goes, we don't have to agree on everything. And
no, he's not an independent man. That's mm-hmm. not the take he's doing. He's just going on the, our relationship is so good, we don't have to agree on everything. We love each other and respect each other. That's the
yeah, he respects her enough to buy a house without her input. I rest my case.
She has so little respect for herself that she's happy. So, come on.
So then Meredith goes, good for you, Jim, standing up to Pam, and creeps. Green just like the creepy smile. Yeah. The ball's on you, man. And Jim just looks at the camera like, what the fuck?
Yep.
And Michael's got to decide, and Pam is pissed.
Mm-hmm.
She is really mad that Jim kind of went against her.
Yep.
Well, really went against her. So anyway, Angela, Dwight, and Andy are now meeting about the wedding, and Andy's explaining how he has some concerns about the directions of how to get to Stroop Farms. My personal favorite, walk until you hear the beehive.
Yes. Yeah. And then, it's like paces and shit like that. It's like a treasure map.
It is. It really is. And then Angela's like, listen, Andy does have a point, but I'm more concerned about it only having one bathroom. And Dwight, in one of my favorite moments, so we'll dig a trench. As long as it's downhill from the well, we'll be fine. And she's like, Nana Mimi cannot hover above a trench.
Nana Mimi
of course
comes up again.
Stumps.
She comes up. Yeah, sit on the stump and just spew into the trench.
And so Andy does a talking head, and he's like, listen, I've looked at 12 venues, lost 8 deposits, which those things are not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Angela naked 0 times. We are getting married at Stroop Farms. So now Pam and Jim are in the kitchen.
Ugh.
And it's like a really awkward thing.
It's kind of like when Jim talked to Kelly in the break room a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's like one of those where, like, there's this weird uncomfortableness in
the air.
Tension,
yeah. For some reason. And she's like, Jim, I think you should reconsider. And he goes, no, I don't think I will. And she, like, goes in to kiss him. And she's like, I really think you should reconsider, though. And kisses him on the lips, like, but he's, like, his mouth is open because he's, like, shocked because she's, like, threatening and bullying.
Well, this is the thing. Like, they tried to turn her into Poison Ivy in this
scene.
Yeah,
like, well, the pheromones. Like,
yeah, it just wasn't firing for whatever. But Jim's like, ooh.
Yeah, he did. Like, I love that move, though. John Krasinski can do that whenever he wants to.
Ice water in his veins right now.
Yeah, I love it. So now Dwight and Angela and Andy are at Stroop Farms. He's showing off the wedding venue.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that he opens the barn. He's like, this is where your receiving line will be. There's a no trespassing sign on the barn. And it's so, like, dingy and dirty.
It's
and,
a
like,
barn.
Broken down. Yeah. Yeah. And Andy asks about the smell. And, he goes, what's that smell? And Angela's like, oh, it's manure. Remove it. And he's like, it covers up the slaughterhouse. So then Andy's like, Dwight, if we pay extra, can you slaughter the entrees the day before? Because she's like, no slaughtering. Dwight's like, do you not want
to
eat?
I love the fact that he's going to slaughter the food for, like, everything is
fresh
made
food.
Everything is made on premises.
Mm-hmm.
They're not shipping in any food.
Nothing.
Or anything like that.
They are a one-stop shop.
So Amish.
Yes.
It's so very Amish.
And that exactly is what leads us to the next scene in the barn.
Yeah.
But so now we're back at the office, and Pam's in the office with Michael, like, trying to basically convince him to do the chair. She's like, remember when you were going to get a new chair and I was going
to
get yours, but that never happened.
Throw back to the chair model.
Yeah. Exactly.
One of the worst episodes they ever
that
did.
That was awful.
Yeah.
So now Oscar pops his head in, and he's like, oh, Michael. And he's like, I didn't make a decision yet. You got to wait. And he goes, I just wanted to ask you to go to lunch. And then Jim's like, oh, you guys go to lunch? Let's do this.
Ass kissers.
It's basically Michael's dream go to lunch with his coworkers.
Everyone's
like
fussing
friends.
Over him, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam just does a talking, and she's like, if that's how they want to play it, it's on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's playing some hardball. So now we see the next scene, Pam zhuzhing up her hair.
Sexing herself up.
She's got red lipstick on, which looks like she blew a clown. I'm sorry, but you have to be a special person to be able to pull off red lipstick like
really?
That. And a redhead is not the one.
Ooh, shot on the redhead.
All right. Maybe just Jenna Fisher with that color hair is not the one.
Because
I've seen her with red lipstick on. Maybe it's the tone or the shade of the lipstick, but it does not look good.
A little too crimson?
Yeah.
She's too pure to be pink?
She's too pure to be pink. That's exactly what it is. But it just, like, I'm sorry, Jenna Fisher, I love you, but
you're
you
right. She
did not look good there.
It's like a Rizzo look.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Rizzo the rat or Rizzo
no,
the
no, green. No, no,
but anyway, so Pam's like,
Tiny Tim did not die.
Who did not die?
Fucking Rizzo, I'm sorry. Good, where are we?
So, Pam's wearing the makeup and she's like, listen, how is it possible that in 5 years I've had 2 engagements in 1 chair? Which
I find that hard to believe. I feel like those would be swapped out.
No. They are not. I can tell you from
Well, then her ass cheeks would be imprinted in that chair.
I can tell you from personal experience, if you break your chair, somebody will come and fix it. You do not get new chairs.
Can you buy your own?
Mm-mm.
You have to use the corporate
yep.
issue.
Because then it's an insurance issue if you fall on their premises.
Man, I don't get it.
Yep. I know. Corporate world is a mess.
I've shit on the corporate and government worlds enough on this show that people kind of realize, like, you know, be an independent person, you know, and
your thing
as much as you can be. Yeah. But like shit like that just blows my mind. Yeah. You know?
So as Pam is completing her zhuzh, Jim, Oscar, and Michael walk in, and they are laughing hysterically.
Fake. So fake, though. Well, not Michael. Michael's really...
Michael is dying, yeah. And Jim and Oscar are like, ha, 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 that was so funny, Michael. Ha, 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 remember that moment.
It's like the group in Christmas Vacation when they're walking into Mr. Shirley's office. Kiss his ass. Kiss my ass.
Kiss like my ass.
They're just ass kissers lined up like behind him.
Literally. So, Jim is like, truce, and he hands Pam... Tiramisu that he brought with her or with him from the restaurant. God, the hiccups, guys. God, I'm sorry.
Hiccups in podcasting don't work. And they you know don't. We're not going to edit it out. We're going to keep it in.
It's going to be an embarrassment, but it's fine.
I'm sorry.
So then Pam just takes it. She opens it and she's like, smells good. And just dumps it in the trash.
Yeah, she just does.
Wow, that is hardball. That's, you could have at least just been like, oh, yeah, thanks.
Just put it in the fridge and eat it later.
Right?
I don't
or
think
put it in his face so he could eat it.
She's suffering.
Yeah.
She's killing herself for this
God
this
damn,
cause.
It's awful.
She's such a fucking martyr.
And but then he looks at her and he goes, you look really pretty. And she's like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And it's like, really, Jim?
He should have said something like, you can carry your cross home, Pam. You fucking martyr for the cause.
Oh, my God. That just brought out my deep laugh.
Yeah, it did. You're Ursula the Sea Witch laugh. Oh, stop covering your mouth. Just go. You go.
So Pam walks into Michael's office and she's like, is that a new tie, Michael?
Oh, my God. She is so over the top
It's here. So bad. And he's like, oh, no, but, you know, it was only $4 at TJ Maxx.
Of course it is.
And of course it was.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my God, hot tie guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, oh, but look at these pants, $9. Boys department.
Oh, creepy.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. I did.
And I was just like, I've never caught on to that. And I was like, boys department.
And all I think of when he says that is like how tight they would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that going back to Scrubs when he's wearing Jordan's pants to break them in. He like slaps his ass.
Yes.
Like that's all. When he's in boys department, I'm like, oh God, those are so snug. Oh God.
But then he's like, look at that ass. Look at that butt. And she's like, shake it. Shake it. And
sexual
like,
harassment.
So gross. So gross. You look like a hooker. He's shaking his ass.
You're both sexually harassing each other. And nobody
literally.
Cares, though. Because guess what? Whoring yourself out for
chairs.
A chair is okay.
Yeah. In corporate America, it is. So now we go back, and Dwight and Angela and Andy are in Dwight's kitchen discussing butter sculptures. And he goes, cow, goat, sheep. And Angela's like, I want a cat. And
it turns into like, the whole thing about milk.
But Dwight's like, cats do not produce milk. What do you want? She's like, I want a cow. Cow's milk butter in the shape of a cow.
Cats do produce milk. They are
just
mammals.
Just not for humans.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could.
Maybe.
I don't know how you would get it out.
I've got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
That was a total what the... Was
that's
it,
a Robert De Niro
I was saying what the fuckers. Like, what is it? Meet the Fockers?
Meet the Fockers.
It's one of those moments. Wait, no.
No,
meet
no,
the
that's the second one. Yeah.
Meet the Parents. It's one of those moments.
I got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
De Niro's greatest line in the history of cinema. Fuck the Godfather 2 or Raging Bull or Taxi Driver. No, man. It's fucking... I've got
it's
nipples.
It's about cat nipples.
That's what it's about.
Yep. Love you, Robert.
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoy him.
He's okay. I still got to see Joker.
Casino.
Casino's fun. Wait, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, Goodfellas, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, De Niro's a great actor.
He is.
He's not, like, on my top list, but, like, I enjoy his stuff.
Yeah.
He's a little too mafia for me. Like, I feel like too many of his movies are, like, mafia.
It's like every
analyze
movie.
This, analyze
the
that
Irishman.
With Billy Crystal. Yeah, 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 a lot of that. The Godfather Part 2, you know, like all that
I
shit.
I love The Godfather, though. All right, so anyway, go back. Andy somehow steps in shit in the kitchen.
Yeah, there's a big couch
And he's like, how is this in the kitchen? Because he stepped in it in the barn, too.
I loved it. I thought that was
no, I thought it was funny.
It reminded me of that Family Guy episode when they move down south with the witness protection. And they go in the house and the TV has like a raccoon on it.
Yeah.
It just jumps out. And then he's like trying to shoot a criminal later. And the gun's jammed. He looks at the fucking raccoon.
Out of the fridge. It comes out of the porta potty.
It was like one of those where like no matter what. It's like a Looney Tunes thing.
Yep. I enjoyed that too.
That's something I thought I might hate. But like as I watch it, I'm like, ah, it's funny.
Yeah.
I just wish there was one more.
Continuity was good. Yeah. So now we go back and Pam is struggling with the copier.
Yeah.
And Jim's like, you can always come over to the other side. We'd love to have you. She goes, no, I have my copies. And she shows and they're like slanted off the page. And she goes, and I have my original as she rips it out of the copier and only has half of it. And that's it. Like, she's like, this is the hill I die on.
Yep. She's not going to back down.
Yeah. So now everybody is still kissing up to Michael. He's eating it up. Like, people are holding doors open for him. Kevin got him hot chocolate. Stanley's like, there he is.
Stanley smiled.
Yeah.
That's Stanley's effort. That's He's not big. Actually going to do anything, but he'll smile. That's what's as far
pretty
as
pretty much. And it lit up Michael's day. So now we're back with Dwight at Shroot Farms. And he's like, or there's this place. And he opens up the doors to the barn. There's twinkle lights. There's seating, like pews in there.
Kind of like a barn wedding that people have
nowadays.
Yeah, like
rustic barn wedding. Yeah. He was ahead of the curve.
He was. Oh, he was.
Damn.
White people didn't want to get married in barns at that time. Now they do. Now they do.
Not yet. 10 years later, he's on the money.
They love that shit now.
So,
charcuterie.
Like Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, guys.
So there's a priest up. It's like, it's almost like he set up a wedding, like a mock wedding for them.
Yeah.
So he walks up and he's like, Andy, you pretend to be Angela's father. I'll pretend to be you. Angela, you be you. So this way you can see what it looks like, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
So they get up and Angela's like, hello, I'm Angela Martin. Like, she's so proper and polite.
So demure.
For once, she's polite. And he's like, the priest only speaks German. Although he was born just mere miles from here, it's a close society. It's like, what?
I love it.
Is that Pennsylvania Deutsch?
Pennsylvania Deutsch.
Deutsch?
Which, they have the best fudge.
They do have good fudge.
As someone who lived amongst the, they weren't Amish. They were the Pennsylvania Dutch. They don't like the term Amish, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
But as someone who lived amongst them and who had to walk through streets of horse shit, like it was a minefield to get to my car, like, I actually, this kind of hit home. I kind of liked it. I actually really enjoyed it.
And so the guy starts speaking in German, and Dwight's just kind of translating it as if they're running through the ceremony. He's like, I have, he's going to ask you to put a ring on, which I have this piece of twine for our purposes. He says I do. Angela says I do. And that's it. And Andy's like in love. He's like, this is it. I want.
He claims to be translating for that guy the whole time.
Yeah, for the preacher. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he's translating the ceremony for Andy and Angela, explaining, we're just walking through the process.
He's so, like, cavalier about the whole thing.
Yes, he is. So now we're back at the office, and Hank shows up. And Michael, walks in, and Michael comes out, and he's like, oh, I need your help making a decision. And he goes, wait, so there's not a security problem? I hustled up the stairs.
He hustled. He's not even breathing heavy.
No, he's not. But I just love how he's like, I hustled up the stairs for this. So Michael wants his help making the decision. And I love Hank's just like, it's warm up here.
He starts eating the candy off the desk.
And so Michael explains, like, we have a surplus, and he's like, I know what a surplus is. So, because he started with the lemonade analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hank understands, he goes over and he looks at the copier. He lifts up the little trays and everything. He goes, that copier is very old. And Michael's like, so we need a new copier. And he goes, well, let me try a chair. He goes over and he's like leaning back and everything. He's like, this chair is very weak, there's no lumbar support at all. And Michael's like, all right, so we need new chairs. And he's like, well, I haven't made a decision yet. And he's like, let me look at the copier again. Michael's like, get out. Get out. So now we're back.
To be honest, this scene felt like it was 5 minutes long.
Yeah, it did.
It dragged hardcore. And that's pretty much, when we get to the end, is a lot of the reason why I took off points for this episode.
Okay.
I'll get there. Go ahead.
So now we're back at Shroot Farms, and Angela and Dwight are standing outside of the barn, and she's like, Dwight, being here with you and that Mennonite priest, I think I made a mistake. And I love that Andy and Moe's are like playing with like a beach ball in the background.
It looked like a pumpkin.
It did,
they're
right?
Like throwing it back and forth.
And Dwight explains like, well, I'm glad because I took care of everything. He planned the whole thing out. It was a real ceremony and they're married. And Angela's pissed.
Yeah, the preacher actually married them. The ring, the twine ring, was the ring.
Yeah.
They both said, I do.
And he wasn't signing a receipt. He was signing their marriage certificate as a witness. Mm-hmm. And Angela's like, Dwight, how could you do this? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, it's not my fault. You don't understand German. I've been telling you to take it for years. And Angela, like, storms off, and Andy and Moe's are still playing ball in the background, and Angie's like, oh, are we leaving? And Moe's just throws the pumpkin at his head.
Also, the preacher's riding away on a horse.
I didn't see that!
Oh, yeah, in the background, he's just like, riding on a horse.
Oh, my God. It's so great. Everything about Shroot Farms is fucking gold.
It really is.
So, now we're back, and Michael is calling David Wallace to make a decision on the surplus. And David's like, you're calling me about a minor budgetary issue? Really? And he goes, Michael, why don't you just return it and get the bonus? You can get 15% of whatever you return. And Michael goes, $645?
He's all jacked up.
So, like, you already know, Michael's going to try to find a way to get this bonus. And he talks about how he doesn't like to disappoint one person, and he likes even less to disappoint everybody. But he loves Burlington Coat Factory.
Burlington.
He goes, you walk in there with $645 and you are literally a king.
I don't
which
disagree.
Which is so true.
I don't disagree.
It's so true. I mean, Burlington and Marshalls are along the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, I've had people who have bought like $500 worth of stuff and it's like three carts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good bargains.
Yeah. So now Michael goes out to the office and he announces that he will not be getting the chair because the chairs are
tries to say ergonomically, but he says ergonomically.
Yes, ergonomically, which I just thought Urkel. They're ergonomically correct. And he also, as he's saying this, he's just getting lower. The chair is
sinking.
down. And he's like, and we don't need a copier. The copier is great. The copier works fine. And Oscar's like, you know, don't you?
Oscar knows.
And he's like, what do you mean? And he goes, you know. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Oscar goes, can anybody tell me what 15% of 4,300 is? And Michael immediately, $645.
Dollars.
And he goes, how do you know that? And Kevin's like, oh, my God.
He's a
Michael's
genius.
Michael's a genius. And he starts giving him, like, all of these mathematical equations.
Yeah.
And Oscar's like, all right, then, Michael, what's da-da-da-da-da? I don't even know what he said. And Michael's like, And he goes, Michael is going to return the surplus and take the bonus and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him out. And everybody's pissed. And
yeah.
Pam's like, what? We're not getting chairs?
That's Pam.
Yeah, basically. So now we're back and Angela, like we're in the office. Andy's eating a tuna sandwich.
Tuna.
And Angela walks over and, like, legit makes out with him.
Hardcore.
Like, this is probably the most action he's ever gotten from her.
And they swap tuna?
Yeah. So now it's all in front of Dwight, and he's just looking, like, he's just glaring at them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, now I have to go handle a legal issue.
Yeah.
She has to go get her annulment from Dwight. So now it's the end of the day, and everybody's in Michael's office trying to sway him one way or the other. So Michael thinks he's going to be smart, and he goes, fine, you know what? You guys need to agree on what we're going to get. Otherwise, I'm taking the bonus. So Michael's like in another part of the office and he's like...
making coffee.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? They're never going to agree on anything, so it's fine. Like, I'm going to get my bonus. They're never going to agree on
whatever. Before he can even finish the sentence, though.
They walk in. We decided on the chairs. It's better to get something than nothing. So literally, Oscar gave up his point just so so that Michael couldn't get his
to
bonus.
Be spiteful.
Oh yeah,
it's wonderful.
So petty. So I love it.
Deliciously petty.
Delicious. So now we have a talking head of Michael, and he's sitting in a fur coat,
like Joe Namath on the sideline. Right? It's fucking perfect.
And he says, you know, I've learned three things. One. My team can now make decisions really fast. Two, never buy a fur coat with a credit card until you actually have the money to pay for it. And three, people love to pour fake blood on fur coats when you walk out of Burlington Coat Factory.
And he has blood all over the...
Oh, yeah, they zoom out and it's just red shit all over.
Which would never happen in Scranton.
Not in Scranton.
We don't have those activist groups around.
Not like that, no. No. I mean, there's people who'd be like, oh my God, you're wearing fur.
Yeah,
there
people would judge you, but they would never
But they
take
would never
that
actually
away.
Vandalize yeah. your belongings. That's,
you could tell the show's produced in L.A.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. So now we have Jim and Pam, and... They're calling a truce, and Pam's like, yeah, that's fine, only because I won. And he's like, oh, all right, well, here, I need four copies of that stapled and collated, and her jaw just drops.
Yeah.
And he, like, leans in just like she did, and he goes, I'm just kidding, I need five. And her face is just like, oh, yeah. I've made a grave error.
He turned the tables.
Good for her.
Yeah, he's going to make her do... Good for her. He's going to
yeah,
make her
good
do...
Yeah, good for her.
She's going to make copies now.
Exactly. Good for her.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant
like... no, spiteful.
I thought you were like, yeah, Pam.
No,
yeah.
She gets what she deserves.
Yeah, all right.
You don't have enough respect for yourself? Damn it, he won't either. Go make those copies, copy bitch.
And then make me a sandwich.
And that's how we end the episode.
So what'd you give this one?
I gave this one a 4.2. I thought it was really funny. I had a couple... No, I love the Shroot Farm stuff.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Absolutely loved it. I loved how Michael... Like, we always talk about how Michael, like, oh, he comes up with this plan, and then he's too much of an idiot, so it doesn't work, and da-da-da. But this time, it's like, he thought he was going to be smart and outsmart somebody, and he's the one who got outsmarted. And he kind of got, like, a lesson... Like, he got taught a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I rated this one.
He did get some come up and...
Yeah, I rated this one pretty high because I really did think it was funny. I laughed a lot through it. What did you give it?
3.5.
Okay.
Because I think that this episode is a good example of something where they had a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
A surplus idea. It's really good. But I feel like about 17 minutes into the episode, they ran out of places to go with it. I feel like the Hank scene... Which felt like forever, where he just goes back and forth and mumbles. It seriously, like, dragged it down, because, like, it was stalling.
Yeah.
It was like, we have to fill this. It was such unnecessary filler. It wasn't that funny. You could tell they were just biding time for the episode.
Yeah.
And I think they did that with, like, Pam sexing herself up and never really goes anywhere. She has comments on Michael's ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Jim and Oscar go out to lunch or whatever, but I don't know. I just feel like it just didn't hit properly for me, maybe.
Well,
I just feel like...
I can see where you were going with the Hank stuff. Like, I understand where you're coming from, but, I mean, it didn't detract for me.
It didn't distract for me. Like, I was watching that episode, and so the last one we watched, the Frame Toby one,
mm-hmm.
flew by. This one seriously felt like it was one of the 40-minute episodes. Like
really?
It just dragged for some reason.
Oh, I didn't feel
that way. And I watched it twice, and I was just like, you know what? The Shroot Farm stuff was good.
It's always good
but
at
like,
Shroot Farm.
I don't know. There's something about this one that was just, like, meandering to me. And I can't really put my finger on it, but it just didn't hit for me for whatever reason. But
I don't know.
Overall,
I do have a couple questions, though.
Oh, my God.
I know. Shocker!
Let's do it.
All right. So this one is kind of a two-parter.
Okay.
How do you feel when you disagree with your significant other? And have you ever been bullied into agreeing with them on something?
No. I've never been bullied into agreeing with her.
Mm-hmm.
How do I feel about it? We do it a lot more than I think is typical, actually. Because, like, we have different worldviews on certain things.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to, like... use generalities, but she's more of the think with her heart, and I'm more of the think with your head. So, I mean, obviously you're going to come to different viewpoints with things just with how you perceive things, which is how we do it. But, like, I mean, luckily we don't work together. It would probably be really bad. But, I mean,
Every, it's funny because my husband always says, if you worked with me, you wouldn't be married to me. He's like, you would hate me if you worked with me.
The thing is, I think our relationship is good because a lot of times, like, I'll do what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
But I always know that I have the ace in my pocket where I could just say no. And yeah. She would be okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no use bitching about stuff because sooner or later you're going to want to do something that, you know, she won't want to do or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, you said pick your battles. It's not even picking battles. It's just being equal.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, the Jim Pam thing, I don't get why Pam had to be so vindictive about it, I guess.
Oh, crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, Jim was the bigger man. He was like, we don't have to agree on everything. Yeah. Right? We're not going to. And she was just like,
you're not on my
side. You're not getting sex in your parents' bedroom tonight.
No!
That's what they're moving into. They're moving into.
La, 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 la.
But, like, she, like, lingers in like a fucking Batman femme fatale, you know? It's like, that was a little extra, but
yeah.
What else you got?
What would you have done with the surplus?
Oh, I would have gone with the copier because I'm thinking with the head.
Yeah, no, same.
That would have been me because, like, they showed, like, Pam, like, it ripped off.
Especially with, like, how often, like, you have to remember, this is not in a time frame where emails were, like, heavily used, like, in today's world.
What do you mean? They had email?
No, they had it, but, like, if you could print out a memo, they printed out memos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't, like...
Everything was based around paper.
Yeah.
That makes your work easier. Like, you come into work, do you really want to fight a copier?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just bring in a cushion. Yeah. Sit on a cushion, you know
basically,
what I mean?
Basically. They literally make cushions and, like, lumbar support.
Yeah. I mean, you see these, like, these fucking weird people who take them to baseball games and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, just do that if it's really that much of a bother, you know?
Mm-hmm. But that's well, some people have back issues, and that's why
they my sciatica. Wah. Get a real job, then.
Wow. What if they're disabled, Kevin?
You can work. Just took sit a in very your wheelchair. Serious sit turn. In your wheelchair, then.
God. All right, guys, that's all I've got. Anything else you want
to? No,
discuss?
There's really nothing else to add to that one. I thought it was funny, just a little meandering. You know, like I said, 3.5. It's still better than average.
Yeah, still good. All right, well, guys, that's all we have for this week. Next week, we have season 5, episode 11, Moroccan Christmas, and episode 12, The Duel. All right, guys, that's all we got for you. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter at BroSisPodcast or send us an email at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com. And we'll see you on the next one.